upper room in the Dharma Castle, and also I would like to welcome all of you on in the computer, not in the computer, who are online, those who participate now and in the future. I intend to start today a little mini-series. It is a series that describes the eightfold pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout the day. Perhaps you have heard that the whole aim of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is to really remember Krishna and never forget him. And now, to do this, there are detailed instructions in our tradition how to meditate about Krishna's pastimes. Descriptions are so detailed that while you go through your day, you can just stop, take note of the time as it is now, and then start to think of Krishna. I believe some of you who are married and have children, you will stop sometimes during the day and think, what is my child doing at this moment? I can imagine that Syamachandra, when you had come to Germany, but your family was still perhaps in India or somewhere, you were sometimes asking yourself, what is my wife and my daughter doing? And I hope they're well and everything goes good for them. And then when you knew this is the time where they come to the airport to come and fly to Germany, you were in a heightened state of anticipation. So in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, you do the same thing. You look at the time and you ask yourself, what is Krishna doing now? And you go with your mind into the activities of Krishna. I believe here is a substantial difference between religion and spirituality. In religion, you want to make God part of your life. You pray to him that he may help you in your daily affairs. But in spiritual life, you want to enter the world of God. Maybe not so many Hare Krishnas are spiritual people, but more religious. It could be, but the whole idea of spiritual life is, you understand, this life is more, it's not the real life. It is based on the false assumption that I'm the body and the mind and the stories in which I live, which I have created, the limitations I have created in my life and so on. But in spiritual life, you really find an exit without any material help, but you find an exit by meditation and you go into the spiritual reality. There are many descriptions of saints who know how to visit this realm, and they always come back fresh into our realm with visions of what they have seen. And I acknowledge that maybe we are not so quickly saints, except for a few of you maybe, but also we can enter the spiritual domain and through meditation. And then when we come into our field here, our normal field, we bring something with us. I always give the analogy that of someone entering a perfume shop. When he comes out of the perfume shop, he smells like a rose garden. I had this experience in Tehran. I was walking through the streets and I was thinking to get a rose perfume. Tehran means rose perfume and traffic jams and many other things. But so I went into the shop. I remember there were some restless also, people who did exercises. It was a busy street, but I went there. And when we went inside, I said, rose perfume. There was a translator who could translate it. They opened the bottles. And when I came out, those who were with me, they said, what has happened to you, Sachidananda Swami? Are you a perfume lover now? Because I smelled really, the whole street began to smell, because I had brought something from another domain into the busy streets of Tehran. So meditation about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes can surcharge you, it can spiritualize you, it can perfume your whole existence. And then when you come down, or come back into this world, you people will see, acha, this person is coming from another world now. What if this world is not the real world? This world. Have you ever thought about it? Maybe at the beginning of your spiritual life you thought about it. It's a dream, and now you are fully, you've forgotten yourself in the dream. Spiritual life means to wake up again and again. To what? To a spiritual reality. So I would like to talk about the Eightfold Pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then guide you at the end in a meditation. Yes, this is new for some of us. But it is in our tradition, after all, we should always think of Krishna and never forget him. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu summarized his instructions to Rupa Goswami with one beautiful verse, which I would like to recite to you. Bhavite, bhavite Krishna, Spuraye antare Krishna kripaya akya paya rasa sindhu pare. When one thinks of Krishna constantly, love for him will manifest within the heart. Even though one may be ignorant, you know, this is not for saints. Saints are not ignorant. This is for us. Even though one may still be ignorant, one can reach the far shore of the ocean of transcendental love by Krishna's mercy. So you can, this obviously speaks about crossing the ocean of material life. Ocean, why? Because there are so many waves. Just like in a real ocean, there are waves. Here in this ocean of material life, there are waves of desire, no? Waves of desire, which bring us to where we are. So we can cross this and come to the spiritual platform. So, let us start. I just need a pair of cartels. Konkushin, did you? Yeah. Krishna,
Oh,
Everybody.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Chari Praharatri Gele Buna Suryodaya. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that the day and the night are divided into 8 time spans. It starts at dawn between 3:36 to 6 o'clock, that's 2 hours and 24 minutes. And during this time, the Nishanta or Dawn Leela takes place. And from there it proceeds until the next dawn. In Krishna consciousness, it is very important to know clearly what is the goal of your spiritual practice. It's almost like rowing. If you don't have a clear idea where you wish to bring your boat to, you might row in circles and not move forward. Or imagine you would just step into the train system. Here in Neuruppin you only go to one place, I think Spandau. But from there you can go to Paris, to London, to Amsterdam, to everywhere. And imagine you don't have a clear understanding where you wish to go. Then in theory, most probably you will not arrive at any faraway place, because you will go in one direction, then you will go in another direction, and in another direction. In India, you see many spiritual people who have renounced the world and who walk around like sadhus and are maintained by the people who are the householders who have great respect for renunciants. However, if you would ask them, what is your clearly defined goal of your sadhana? They will give answers like this. It will not be always very clear. So in the way the tradition looks at this, the ancient tradition, is that you do have to somehow make up your goal of your sadhana. It's called a satya, and then do specific practices that bring you towards that ultimate end. Now, we in the movement for Krishna consciousness are known as Krishna devotees. We follow the path of Krishna bhakti. But to enter the world of Krishna, we need to go through a certain gateway, a portal, a dimension gate. Something which we can contact here and then move from there onwards. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur speaks about this portal or gateway by saying, Yata yata gaura padara vinde vindeta bhaktim krita punya rasi tata tato sarapati hrit yakasmat radha padamboja sudam purashim. Only one who is extremely fortunate can receive the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As much as he can devote his full attention to the service of Lord Chaitanya, to that extent he can taste the nectarian service of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. The more one engages in the service of Gaura, the more one finds oneself in Braja, tasting the nectar of the service of Radha. So, this is a portal. Those of you who have read in the spiritual traditions of the world, they know that there are these portals, and if you enter into them, you exit somewhere else. You have seen this in Lord of the Rings. Someone writes a mantra on a rock, the rock opens, it becomes a portal, and you are moving then there, and you come out in the land of the elves, in another dimension. This is Tolkien picked up on a very common theme of spiritual literature. In the same way, if we engage our mind with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Hare Krishna Nandini, welcome! And we hear his pastimes, that we focus on him, we do service to him. All of a sudden we find ourselves, even in this life, thinking very much about Radha and Krishna. It's somewhere where I think of it as entering a tunnel and then going through, going and coming out in Vrindavan and Radha's service. It's even said, in this age of Kali, to contact Lord Chaitanya, to go through Lord Chaitanya means you go through Kirtan, or to be very specific, to Shriva Sangam, the place where Lord Chaitanya inaugurated or started the Kirtan. You do Kirtan, and as you do Kirtan and you touch the heart of Kirtan, then your mind will be very ecstatically thinking of Radha Krishna. Perhaps this has happened to you. Perhaps at times when you were in Kirtan and you were absorbing yourself in Kirtan, you might have thought of Vrindavan, of Krishna, of service to the Lord, of ultimate things. It might have happened that you felt all of a sudden, wow, this was really good. And I really felt Kirtan transported me to to another place. If this has happened to you at times, you have already gone a little bit, or why a little bit, you have gone through the dimensional gate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have come onto another level of consciousness, a level of Krishna consciousness. So in Kali Yuga, we find that the Kali Yuga avatar, the avatar who has appeared here and made access to Radha and Krishna possible, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his method. We are very happy to hear that in the summer time, Zara and Lara and Michael and Kanu Priya and everyone, also Kalakanta and so on, will arrange a big kirtan event here in the Schloss Garden, the garden of this castle, where we want people to know, see, this is kirtan. Enter the kirtan and you will see that you feel come to another level of existence and perception. This is, I'm invited in New York, and the Bhakti Center has asked me if I could please make a special evening in the Bhakti Center. They have said we've been chanting since many years here, every Thursday or Wednesday, but we know that you have some further, you have studied this subject. Can you please take our guests to another dimension in the kirtan? And I said, I can try, and so on. So to the extent, or as you take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seriously, and take his method seriously, the chanting of the holy name, you can actually you can go to Krishna. Jiva Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Thakur say like this: if you love Lord Chaitanya more than Radha Krishna, you will go in the spiritual world to Navadvip, to the place where Lord Chaitanya is. If you love Radha and Krishna more than you love Gauranga, then you will go to Vrindavan exclusively. But if you love both Lord Chaitanya and Radha and Krishna, you will go to two places simultaneously. In quantum physics, we are talking about two different locations and how they are connected. This idea is not too new to us in the time waver and Healy world, but in spiritual world it is really possible. You are actually there in two locations and making two experiences. And with our little, with the Gora evening, we try, or in this evening I try to bring you there a little bit. Maybe not at the first session, soon we will. Okay, enough theory, let's start. We will sing the Maha Mantra, then I will read to you a verse explain the verse about the first meditation. It's what you do from 3:36 to 6 o'clock, and then we will meditate. And then at the end, I hope to address also those who are afraid of meditation and talk something which you all know. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Actually, we can sing all together. Hare
Yeah.
at the end of night, upon hearing the pleasant sounds made by many birds, such as the cuckoos, the roosters and others, Sigoura arises from his bed. You must be knowing Lord Chaitanya has been resting. And when he awakened a little bit in the morning, just a little bit, he turned on his belly. And this time his consciousness is no longer in sleep consciousness. His hair, beautiful hair, is spread out over the cushion. His eyes are fluttering a little. And he appears to be exhausted because he has been engaged in ecstatic singing and dancing with his associates all night long. Although at that time Lord Chaitanya was sometimes overwhelmed by such ecstasy that he rolled like a gold mountain in the dust of the court of Sri Vasangam, his body is still very golden. It's not smeared with dust. He lies on the soft cushions of his bed, and his body, which is exposed because he only has a small lungi, a white dress from the hips down to the knees, his body is fully exposed. It looks as if a flash of lightning has fallen on earth. Why does it have such brilliant light? Well, it's because of the love of his heart. When a person has love in his heart, he may be dressed very simple. He may be living in a very simple circumstance, but somehow he is shining. When we visit hosts or people who live somewhere and they are excited with loving emotions, we feel, wow, it's such a nice place to be and we don't want to go. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is full of these deepest loving emotions, and therefore he's so absolutely brilliant. He has a necklace of pearls which is lying on the bed, and he's lying in a temple. This temple has four walls facing east, west, north and south, and in each of these two walls, those who have entered there and who have come in the world have seen two windows. So there's good light there. Before the temple in which he sleeps, the Shayan Mandir, the sleeping Mandir, you find crystal terraces and crystal steps. So the light of the flickering lamps, remember it's 3:36 in the morning, it's quite dark still, is reflecting on these crystal steps. And Mahaprabhu wakes up and thinks of Radha and Krishna. In fact, the whole temple, Shayan Mandir, is decorated with beautiful pictures of Radha and Krishna. And the frames of the windows are studded with emeralds, smaragds and jewels, so that the little light of the oil lamps is creating a particularly soothing and very artful atmosphere in the light. There's an altar, there's a hall also, there is a courtyard, and yes, this sleeping room. before the temples, my dear, of the temple of the rest, the sleep mandir, there is a beautiful garden which has the most exquisite and also fragrant flowers, so that the night breezes which come through the open windows carry the fragrance of jyoti, mallika, and ok. These are all species of jasmine flowers, means very, very fragrant. You know them in your tradition. There is the gardenia, it belongs to the family of jasmine flowers, and it smells, oh, so nice. So this is the scene. Then he slowly gets up. Next to him is his wife Vishnupriya, and they start to discuss very privately and intimately topics that concerned their mutual loving affairs throughout the night, and remembering the love that they bear in their heart for each other, they become extremely pleased. At that time, the cuckoos begin to cuckoo, and the roosters. Mahaprabhu is Vishnupriya gets up and goes and greets Sachidevi, but Mahaprabhu is there thinking of Radha and Krishna. At that time, there's a parrot. He's in a golden cage in one of the corners of the sleeping mandir, and he walks back and forth in his golden cage. He thinks something. It's actually time, he thinks, to wake up, to get up for Mahaprabhu. But he is still so much in this pensive, meditative state. So I must wake him up. So this little parrot, he can speak actually, he addresses Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in perfect language. Get up! My dear Lord, there is the fresh morning dew which has spread over the flowers and the trees and so on. It's early time. It's the time where the birds go to Mother Ganga. The geese are there and they are all there. Get up, my Lord. Please get up. And as the parrot, who is, so to say, the transcendental upwaker or wakening upper or whatever you say, and he speaks so intensely, Gora opens his eyes. And his eyes, my dear devotees, are so beautiful. It is said the god of love, Kamadeva, has to hide in shame because he doesn't look so nearly as beautiful. Still in his mind, he sees the Kunja Leela of Radha and Krishna. Then Mahaprabhu gets up, goes to another room, and sits down on a raised sitting place and washes his lotus face with nicely scented water. He also at times goes outside the temple of sleep and he rinses his mouth with rose-scented or other scented water and just spits it to clear his mouth. And then he very happily visits his mother Sisachi Devi, as well as Yes, visits his mother Sri Sachi Devi. Now Sachi Devi has already been up. She has prepared for her glorious son a plate, a golden Artic plate. And she takes from that golden Artic plate a little lamp and hands it to Malini. Malini, the wife of Shiva's Thakur, and says, Malini, today is your day. Today you should offer the Artic to Lord to Gaurasundara. And Malini takes this little lamp and circles it before the Lord. You must remember, it's still a little dark, no? The sun has not yet risen fully. Artic ceremonies are performed in order to take the darkness that surrounds the person away from them. The darkness here refers not always to physical darkness, but it can refer also to inauspiciousness. So in the Vedic tradition, you would greet a dear guest and you would offer them a little bit like this, the arati, where you would move one time around his aura, if you so want, or his body, and you would think, just like this light takes away all the darkness, may this Aratik ceremony take away all inauspiciousness, all drowsiness, all bad wishes of others, so on. I remember at the time when I was engaged in the Gauranga Bhajan group, and we had each evening thousands of people who were coming and doing kirtan. It was a time that is almost too good to remember. Whenever I came down from the stage, my job was to bring everyone to chanting. I knew that I would carry many projections of people who had projected their ideas on me. So I always had someone, not always, but most of the time, who would welcome me from the stage, and he would throw mustard seeds at me, and then the inauspiciousness is supposed to go away from the person, the projections, the ideas. Oh, this man is crazy, or this man is this, or this man is that. I wish he falls when he dances so much on the stage, and so on. That would all go, and I would feel my natural, joyful, relieved self. It's a little tradition which is done. So this tradition, Bertha tradition, knows about bad influences, projections, and how to remove them. And the most common one is to do an aratik. No? Maybe you will do this when you have a guest in England, when we visit the homes of people there from the Indian background. They always offer an aratik. This is, you stand here, and then very quick it goes. And then you are welcome. So Mother Sachi arranges this each day for her glorious son. And then Mahaprabhu visits his friends and the relatives who have come to the home. These relatives or these friends include his eternal associates. Perhaps you would like to say these names because they're very spiritual. Nityananda.
Nityananda.
Advaita.
Advaita.
Gadadhar.
Gadadhar.
Mukunda Murari.
Mukunda Murari.
Haridas.
Haridas.
Brakeshvara.
Brakeshvara.
Do you remember Brakeshvara? He could dance for 72 hours without stopping. Mahaprabhu would say, you dance so nice. If I have another dancer like you, I would feel I have wings to fly. This shows you how in kirtan there is sometimes dancing, and the dancing of the devotees in the kirtan enthuses everyone who sees them. It's so pure. And there was Shrita. Yes. And then they would group. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sit in the middle, Gadadha would sit on his left side, and Nityananda would sit on his right side, and he sits, it happens every day at this time. And Advaitacharya sits before them and looks with loving eyes on Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who's flanked by Gadadha and Nityananda. And the devotee similarly is thinking about when he meditates about this beautiful scene that the Lord sits flanked by these divine personalities. If you would like to see the altar at this stage, we can maybe request our videographer to do so. Or it's in the thing you see in the middle is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yes? Now, on his left side, that is your right side, is Gadadha. And on his right side, that is your left side, is Nityananda. One step down is Advaitacharya, and the one on the very, very left side of Mahaprabhu is Srivasta Thakur. They are very beautifully taken care of here by the devotees, especially one devotee, Kanupriya. And you can see, this is the end of the meditation. On the morning. Now let me see. Yes. So what I would like to do now with you, I would like to read in a very nice way this verse of the first period of the day where you meditate on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have gone through some detail now, and I believe as you are hearing the lines of this verse, they might trigger some memory, and as the memory is awakened, then you can visualize it. It's a little bit like using, you know this from your computer, when you have a certain code in the computer, a program comes up and you see something. Maybe you see an app, the best walking ways around Neuruppin, or you see the other things we don't want to discuss today. But this is how you meditate. The computer is a man-made machine. The real vision happens in the spiritually sensitive individual. We will sing one time the Maha Mantra, only with the harmonium, then we will do the meditation, and then we will sing with instruments.
Krishna.
at the end of night. Upon hearing the pleasant sounds made by many birds, such as the cuckoos, the roosters, and others, Sigora arises from his bed. There is Vishnupriya, his wife, and she is also up. Together they discuss many topics concerning their mutual loving affairs and the different mellows and tastes. And thus they become very pleased. Vishnupriya goes to Mother Sachi, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gets up and goes to another room, wherein he sits upon a raised sitting place. It is assisted by his devotees in washing his lotus face with nicely scented water. Thereafter, he very happily visits his mother, Shisachi Devi, as well as the other friends and relatives who have come to his home. I meditate thus on the daily pastimes of Sri Gaurasundara.
Thank you.
Perhaps we can sing when we have gone offline a little bit more, or discuss maybe more. I just wanted to thank you all very much for your encouraging presence, your interested hearing. It is always, when we discuss these things, it is the audience is as important, if not more important, than the speaker, because in this exchange of transcendental subjects or confidential subjects, the hope is to create a platform, a level, so to say, on which everyone can make some type of sambandha or connection with the deity about whom the discussion is. So it requires really a very sympathetic audience to these subject matters in order to create in order to attract maybe grace, mercy or kripa to manifest in our hearts. That is why devotional sangha or the association of devotees is so important, because together we do something like a group petitioning. As a group we come together glorifying Krishna, and the Lord is so attracted that he says, I don't stay in Vaikuntha, I'm not even in the hearts of the mystic yogi, so I come where my devotees sing and discuss my glories. This was the first session of perhaps 8 or 9 sessions, I don't know, perhaps it's 9 sessions. It's a mini-series on the Eightfold Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So if you are interested to you or hear this, watch for the next date of Gora meditation. I know the devotees are discussing looking at the present moment as possible dates, and those of you who have come here and being physically present, if you like to learn more and hear more and practice, I suppose, more Gora meditations, you're most welcome to join. I will end here so that those who need to go can go. And Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. Ja, gut, dann sind wir ja mit dem offiziellen Teil fertig. Wir hatten über die Osterretreats eine ganz tolle Erfahrung. Wir hatten 2 sehr nice Devotees eingeladen, also die sehr kompetent waren. Keshava Maharaj und dann ein Devotee, den ihr vielleicht vom Internet her kennt, Hari Parshad, der ein Sanskrit-Gelehrter ist, aber ein Devotee. Und der hat uns in die Dichtkunst von Rupa Goswami eingeführt. Es heißt, um wirklich Krishna-Bewusstsein in die Nuancen zu erfahren, die feineren Dinge, musst du ja in die spirituellen Emotionen hereinkommen. Und das G ist halt durch Rupa Goswamis Dichtkunst gemacht worden. Raghunath betet, er sagt, mein Geist ist wie ein wildes Pferd. Ich hoffe, dass Rupa Goswami und seine Dichtkunst auf dieses Pferd geht und es lenkt, sodass es ganz sicher im vollen Galopp bei Radha und Krishna ankommt. Also, und er hat, also da war diese eine Szene, die da waren, können sich vielleicht noch erinnern. Ich weiß, Kanupriya, du warst, glaube ich, da. Ich weiß aber nicht, ob du die ganze Zeit da warst. Ein Tag nur. Da war, aber schon da sagtest du, es ist wirklich ein großes, ein Becher voll mit Nektar. Nicht? Also man ist ganz berauscht. Kanupriya war ganz berauscht. Und da war eben da war so eine Szene, wo er ein bestimmtes Gedicht von Rupa Goswami vorgelesen hat und eben die Essenz so rausgebracht hat. Und alle, es war so, Radharani ist verlassen worden von Krishna. Krishna ist mit Akura auf der Kutsche nach Mathura gefahren und die ganzen Gopis und Bewohner von Vrindavan hatten sich in den Weg geworfen, hatten die Rede angehalten, haben die Pferde versucht wegzulenken, waren auf den Wagen geklettert, um Akura runterzuzerren, nur um zu verhindern, dass Krishna aus Vrindavan entführt worden wurde. Aber es nützte alles nichts. Krishna ist nach Mathura gegangen und Radharani hat ihm dann einen Brief geschrieben. Er hat gesagt, ich habe dich nie um etwas gebeten, aber jetzt bitte ich dich um etwas. Bitte opfere für mich 3 Handvoll Yamuna-Wasser mit Sesam-Samen in die Yamuna. Ja, was bedeutet das? Was das bedeutet ist Tapana. Das heißt, wenn jemand gestorben ist, dann geht man und opfert in seinem Gedenken heiliges Wasser in einen heiligen Fluss. Und wie gesagt, das lässt sich, glaube ich, jetzt nicht rekreieren, dieser Moment. Aber als uns so klar wurde, dass Radharani kurz vor ihrem Tod steht und Krishna um die letzten Riten bittet, sozusagen. Also ich sage euch, die allzeit bereiten, die Bodhis, die immer zu einem Lacher zu haben sind, sind richtig für einen Augenblick in dieses Gefühl gekommen. Ist es nicht, Krishna? Ein Augenblick waren wir alle da, weil unser wilder Geist von Rupa Goswami in diese Richtung geritten worden ist oder gebracht worden ist. Und so, mir hat mal ein großer Devoti gesagt, er hat mich gefragt, kennst du Gelehrte, die Kavya kennen, also die Dichtkunst? Habe ich gesagt, ich bin ein sehr einfacher Mensch, also das kenne ich nicht. Und dann habe ich gefragt, warum bist du denn an Dichtkunst interessiert auf deine alten Tage? Und da sagte er mir, also du kannst eigentlich nur die Feinheiten der Bhakti erfahren, wenn du in die Welt der Emotion gehst, die Welt der spirituellen Emotion. Und das kann halt geschehen, wenn wir anfangen zu meditieren und so reinzukommen. Das, mal sehen, ob das möglich ist, so etwas zu erleben, indem wir diese Verse, es sind Verse von Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur und die Erläuterungen sind nicht meine, sondern, also ein paar natürlich, um das ein bisschen näher zu bringen in unserem westlichen Verständnis, aber größtenteils sind es Erläuterungen von seinem Schüler Krishnadas, der das ausfaltet. Ja, gut. Was denkt ihr? Wollen wir vielleicht noch, weil wir sind jetzt, haben wir den Kirtan so unterbrochen, wollen wir Gokrishna noch bitten, noch ganz kurz vielleicht noch den Kirtan zu Ende zu singen? Ich gebe dir mal meinen. Also, wenn Gokrishna da ist, dann weiß ich eindeutig, jetzt
muss der quakende Frosch aufhören und das Mikrofon geht zum Guru Krishna. So.
What? No. Some Hare Krishna mantra. Different melody. Genau.
Also wir singen nur noch 15 Minuten. Ich weiß, dass manche von euch sich den Abend schon eingeteilt haben.
Hare Krishna.